You have been warned. This radio program is going to have bold topics for bold Christians. Welcome to Empowered Radio with Lori Dims.
These are the worst of times. These are the best of times. Right now, it's Tim's time. Praise God. Amen and amen. Thank you for joining me today. And let me introduce myself. My name is Lori L. Timms. I'm an author and a speaker. And it's my passion to reach the lost and form the church in these last days. Today, the title of the show is Stealing Your Faith. Now, this is a plan, plot, and ploy by the enemy. And he wants to steal your faith. And, of course, he steals some other things on the way. So we're going to get down into it and go a little bit deeper. And my foundational scripture is 2 Timothy 4:1. It says, in the last days, many will fall from their faith. And the other scripture here is Luke 18:8. And it's talking about Jesus says, well, when I return, will there be faith on the earth? So see, there will be some faithless people. So we're going to talk about this today. We're going to break it down, and we're going to talk about solutions. And so let's get started. Amen. Number one is delay. The enemy wants to delay, use delay to discourage you. It's all about God's not coming through for you. You know, he always plants these ideas in your head. And, you know, it kind of reminds you of the old picture of, you know, the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other. Well, the devil's whispering in your ear, planting thoughts that, you know, your promise is not coming. The things that God has promised you is not going to happen. It's not coming through for you. See, this plants a seed of doubt in your mind. And we know that that's not a good thing, because doubt is the opposite of faith. And so we need to keep going on, and we have these thoughts, then, you know, we can't worry about that. Because see, this delay is to weaken you and wear you out, you know, so you'll lose your way. And so he plans to steal your faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And, you know, the old saying that you've heard before, and it says, God's not saying no, he says not now. Because his timing is not our timing. So just because you haven't seen it manifest doesn't mean that it's not going to. And don't, you know, when I use the word manifest, I'm not talking a new age guru stuff or anything. I'm talking about if you have not seen your promise come yet, then don't worry. Your prayers will be answered in God's perfect timing. And his timing is perfect. And so that's what we need to concentrate on. The scripture on that, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's in Hebrews 11:6. And so I have a lot of scriptures here, but I'm not going to read them all. I'm just going to use them as references. And so let's keep going here. Okay. Now, the next thing the enemy likes to use is disappointment. He wants you to be disappointed. Well, first there's delays, so you don't know if your promise is going to be happen or not. You know, he's whispering thoughts. Now you're disappointed, because where is the promise? Where is it? First it's been delayed, and now where is it at all? So the enemy wants to sow unbelief. First he sowed doubt, and now he's sowing unbelief. And the thing about this is that if God promised it, he will deliver. And so in Numbers 23:19, he is not a man that he would lie. You know, if you don't see it happening yet, it doesn't mean that God's not working behind the scenes for you. This is a time to decree your promises and thank God ahead for your answer. And so that shows God your faith. And, you know, the enemy's just trying to be sneaky and trying to get you to drift you away from God, to steal your joy, to steal your promises, steal your faith. That's what he does. Because, you know, like I said earlier, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, you know, if you want a miracle, you have to believe in miracles. If you you have to believe in God for God to come through for you on your prayers. That's for sure. Now, number three, cares of this world. Now, the cares of this world are looking at the world's condition instead of Jesus. Now, what we're talking about is basically cares of the world is just looking at the headlines, looking at what's going on. And I mean, a lot is going on. I mean, big stores are closing everywhere. I mean, you know, it's just unreal how fast it's just falling apart, like a third to a third world country. You know, it's just, it's devastating to see this. And that's because sin abounds. And so you have a group of people that are running things that are on purpose running it in the ground, so to speak. And I mean, you know, it's sad to see that your country is being destroyed. It really is. But we have to keep our eyes on Jesus, because that's our home, is in heaven. And it's not the world. It's not things that are coming upon the world. It's Jesus and it's the kingdom. So that's what we have to keep our mind on. And what reminds me here is we have to keep our eyes on Jesus in the midst of a storm. So these are storms all around us. We see this, you know, we see the gender bender stuff, and then we see the children are being you know, led into sexuality at such a preschool age. I mean, it's just absolutely atrocious. And I mean, we see so many things that are accepted. It seems like sin is accepted and debauchery is accepted, but righteousness and things that are good and of God are mocked and looked down upon. So I remember, you know, when I grew up, if an employer found out that you were a Christian, they wanted to hire you because they knew you would be dependable, that you would be honest, and, you know, they could rely on you. And so today it's the opposite. The world hates you. And that's just the way it is. And so we were warned about that ahead of time. And that's just how it is. So anyway, we have to quit looking at the world. And we have to keep our eye on Jesus. And that's in Hebrews 12:2. It talks about that. Now, we want to think about the story of Peter being a water walker, you know, where he stepped out of the boat and he's looking at Jesus. He's taking a few steps. Everything's good. But then he turns around and he looks, you know, at the waves. He looks around him at what's going on around him. He takes his eyes off Jesus. And then what happens? He starts sinking. And so we don't want to give the enemy any kind of foothold in our life. And so, you know, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen. And don't worry about the world. The world's going to take care of itself. It's a dying world, obviously. It's dying, and it's a system. It's the beast system that's rising, and it will be destroyed, because even in its heyday for 7 years, that's it. That's it. 7 years. And you don't want to be here. You don't, and you don't have to be here. So don't worry about the cares of this world. Keep your eyes on Jesus and look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. Praise God, and to God be the glory. And who wants to be worried about all that mess anyway? Because it, you know, we are sojourners. We're not citizens of this world. We're citizens of heaven. Praise God. And I'm so glad. And the thing I like to say all the time is, hey, the longer I live here, the more I realize I'm homesick and I'm not from here. Praise God. And I'm just glad, you know, I gave my heart to the Lord and I trust him. I cast my cares on him, not the world. Amen and amen. Okay, the next thing the enemy likes to do is he likes for you to have an offense with others. He wants you to be offended. He wants you to be offended. Now, it may be directly in your personal life, or there's always somebody that says, hey, did you hear how they treated me? You know, they want you to get caught up in their offense. Well, you know, you got enough troubles of your own. Just say, nah, don't want to get involved in that. And see, they always want, misery loves company. You know, it's really the truth. And so don't get caught up in an offense, yours or other people's. So the thing about it is, it's all about to, you know, break your spirit, you know, and get you aggravated and all that kind of thing. You know, it's really sad that's the way it is, but you can't let yourself get offended. Just as Jesus told the disciples to just shake the dust off their feet and move on. We have to deal with rejection. We have to deal with persecution. And I mean, at this point, it's verbal, but we still have to deal with it every day. And from, you know, when you live in a country that's free and you've been able to say what you want and this, that, and the other, well, then you see that deteriorating every day. And so you're going to have some persecution, I guarantee you that. It could be a neighbor. It could be a coworker. You know, it could be manager at work, you know, you name it, it's there. Somebody's going to persecute you or attack you. And, you know, it could be a family member, because sometimes the devil works close. And that means people that are close there. You have enemies in your family. You do. And so that's just the way it is. It does how the devil gets to you through other people. So principalities work through personality. So, you know, that person may not even know he's being used by the enemy to attack you, but he is. That's just the way it is. Well, anyway, don't let yourself get offended and shake your the dust off your feet. And in John 15:18-17, you know, the Lord says that if the world hated me, it'll hate you because it hated me first. So you see, that's part of being a Christian, is having to deal with that type of thing. And so anyway, you could get very angry and very discouraged about it all. But, you know, just dust your feet off and just keep on going, because, you know, better things are ahead for you. You know, Jesus is coming. And time is short here. And, you know, you got to look at it this way. You don't want them to go to hell, no matter. You don't want that on your worst enemy. And you don't want them to be left behind when it gets so terrible here. I mean, it's already terrible, but no one can even imagine the terrible things that are going to happen during the tribulation. And I've read some things about people's dreams and visions about it, and it's just a living hell. It really is. And so, you know, you've got to just let things go. They don't understand, and they're lashing out at you. Hurting people hurt people, and that's just, you know, That's the way it's always been. Well, anyway, here's a scripture on anger that's important. It said, James 1, 19 through 20. It says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, and does not give the devil a foothold. Now, you know, I mentioned the foothold earlier, but see, we open the door to the enemy when we do that. And so, you know, first the devil uses the offense to get you upset, and then he uses anger for you to go to the next step. And then number five, unforgiveness. And that's the worst part. Now, this is where it's getting really serious when you are dealing with unforgiveness. You know, the enemy knows scripture better than we do. And he knows our weaknesses. You know, he probably has a file on each of us with a list of our specific weaknesses. And so he studied mankind forever. So he knows what's up with us. And so I'm going to be really blunt here. And I'm going to say many Christians are in hell today. They are, due to unforgiveness. You know, it's a sin, and it's a sin that has to be immediately dealt with. You know, you can't put it on pause. You can't press the pause button. You got to TCB, take care of business with this right here. That's how important it is. You know, God won't and cannot forgive us unless we forgive others first. You know, there are many who have been hurt as children. We all have, or by former spouses or current spouses, partners, family members, or even co-workers. We have. And I've even heard of families that don't talk to each other for decades because of the hurtful things that has happened. Well, you know, see, you gotta sometimes feel like it's not your fault. And you're waiting on the other person to say, I'm sorry. But we've got to take the higher ground because we want to be forgiven. And anyway, I just wanted to say this about myself. You know, I was in a abusive marriage. I know you may have heard my other show. I've talked about it. But anyway, that was the first thing that the Lord dealt with me about is unforgiveness. I was bitter. You know, anger runs into bitterness and then unforgiveness. And I just, you know, literally hated him. And God can take the hate away from you. And I had to do two things. And that's, first of all, I had to start praying for him. Because you'll find out real quick as you pray for somebody. Now, it may not happen the first three or four times you pray, but just keep doing it. And eventually you'll realize that your heart will soften and you will start looking at them differently, almost like you feel sorry for them. And because, you know, something's wrong with them. If they're mean to you and they say something like they're beat you or, you know, whatever the case may be. But you can't hate somebody that you pray for. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit knew that. So that's step one. Step two is I had to acknowledge and take responsibility for the things that I should have done or didn't do. And so anyway, I wrote a letter and I sent it to him. And I asked him to forgive me because it takes two to argue. So I argued back. I kept it going. The first time I got hit, I could have left, but I didn't. And, you know, there's always circumstances. And we were both young. And I took responsibility for it, too. Now, you know, somebody in counseling might say, oh, but it's not your fault, Lori. You shouldn't have done that. You didn't ask to be hit. He has to take the responsibility on that end. So I'm just taking the responsibility of mine. And so anyway, God will take the hate away from you. And I can assure you of that. And so unforgiveness leads to bitterness and resentment. And you lose your joy too. And you know, it, you see it all the time. I mean, I see it. I ride the bus a lot. So I see people and they're negative. They're complaining. They're griping. They have a victim mentality because somebody's done something to them. And so now the enemy has set root in their life and put strongholds in there. And now they just lash out at everybody. And so you see where it leads to. It's roots of bitterness and resentment. And you have to get to the root and get rid of that, you know. Confess it. Repent. Ask the Lord to take the root out in the mighty name of Jesus. And he will. And, you know, bind those spirits of anger and resentment and bitterness and hate. Bind them. Rebuke them. Renounce them in the mighty name of Jesus. And loose peace, clarity, forgiveness, and love. And it'll happen. It will really happen. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's, you know, it's really, you know, in your face type stuff. But, you know, I'm doing this in love because I want you to know the truth. And so, anyway, two different scriptures here. We're going to talk about them. In Matthew 25:30, the Bible talks about this. And it says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the parable of the unprofitable servant. Now, you know, Jesus taught in parables. And another one that he used example, and this talks about sending them in outer darkness and, you know, where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay. And this is in Matthew 22:1-4, and it's the marriage feast. Now, let me get to this here. Be patient with me. They were kicked out of the wedding. Now, we know that's the marriage supper of the Lamb. And of course, the Father invited all the people, you know, we know that's Father God invited all the people to come. And a lot of them didn't have time to come. They wanted to farm. They wanted to do other things. They wouldn't come. And so then he went out there to the, I'm just going to say highways and byways, you know, of course, there's no highways back then, but, you know, the dirt roads, the most traveled routes. And he was basically saying, we invited other people. And so, but when they showed up, some of them were kicked out because they weren't wearing the right garments. And you may say, well, what's the garment about? The garment is the robes of righteousness from Jesus. It's the garment of righteousness. They didn't have that on them. And what this basically is saying is, you know, they were invited, just like many Christians are invited, but they didn't, they had unforgiveness. You know, they weren't prepared. They weren't ready. And where did they wind up at? They wind up in outer darkness. And so, you know, many people, scholars have talked about this. You know, we know there's levels of hell. We know, you know, Hitler's not with somebody that was a liar all the time, or, you know, different levels for different sins or things that kept them from going to heaven. Well, you know, I've heard stories like a near-death experience where people were actually put in hell that were Christians, but they were in outer darkness. And the Bible refers to this, these two stories here. And so anyway, they said that they were put in outer darkness, which basically mean they were suspended in a jet black area. They couldn't even see their hand in front of their face. They couldn't see it. And so anyway, it was so terrible. They're separated from God. They couldn't see anything. I mean, they knew they were there forever in eternity. And that's where it talks about that they were gnashing their teeth. They were in outer darkness. And so what I'm saying is these are people who said the sinner's prayer, asked for forgiveness, but they didn't go further and sanctify themselves. They didn't clean their life up. They didn't let the Holy Spirit renew their mind. Okay. And so they were the unprofitable servants. They were the ones that were invited to the wedding that wasn't prepared. They were the virgins that didn't have oil. I mean, with the other parable, the 10 virgins. So, I mean, Jesus constantly refers to this to get ready, to get ready. So if you have unforgiveness, you know, you got to take care of it. You've got to take care of it. Amen. Now, in conclusion here, the whole reason behind this show today, topic, is to be aware of the devil's devices. You know, he always wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his motive. And it's been that way forever. He wants to steal your dreams and your promises. He wants to kill your faith and to ultimately destroy your future with the Almighty God. You know, nothing, absolutely nothing, is worth losing your faith. Now, you might say, Lori, I've been saved, so I'm good. You know, you got fire insurance, you know, you think everything's good. But that may be true to a point. But remember, the Bible teaches us that if we endure to the end, we shall be saved. Okay? People don't want to read that. And, you know, I'm just going to say it like it is. Yes, you have a covenant with the Lord. But it's not that he backs out. It's that you turn away from it. And we don't want our names to be blotted out of the book of life. And it has a lot of references in the Bible about being backslid, about your name being blotted out. And so it's important that we forgive others. Because if we don't forgive others, God will not forgive us. That's a risk I'm not willing to take. Now, eternity is final. It's forever, folks. Are you willing to risk it? I hope not. Amen and amen. Thank you. This is a time in this show that I'd like to give everyone an opportunity to get in right standing with the Lord. Now, if you've never taken the steps towards salvation, maybe you have, but you drifted away from your first love, and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, please agree with me now in your heart and your spirit while I say the sinner's prayer. Father God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe that Jesus is your son and died on the cross and rose again the third day. I need you today to be my savior and to be Lord of my life. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Praise God if you made that decision. All the angels in heaven are rejoicing. And your family members are rejoicing too. Amen. That's exciting. You have made the best decision of your life. And you will never regret it. Only that you didn't do it sooner. Amen and amen. Now, welcome to the royal family. You are on the winning side. Praise God, and to God be all the glory. Now that you know the truth, let it empower your life. Amen. Now, don't just say the sinner's prayer and leave it at that. It's not just about that. It's about relationship. Have a relationship with the Lord. Get a Bible that you can understand and read it. Read a chapter every day. You know, you could start out in the New Testament. And so that a good way to fall in love with Jesus. And that's exciting. And so anyway, read your Bible, pray to the Lord, talk to him like you would your best friend, because he is your best friend. And so anyway, it's important that you keep the lines of communication open. And, you know, go to a church. If you can't get to a church, join a church group in somebody's house, a home group. Or, you know, if you're a shut-in and, you know, or you're hurt and you can't get up much, then go online and join a church. So it's important that you assemble with others that are like-minded. Amen. Amen. You need the support, that's for sure. Now, I'd like to thank you for joining me for this program. I hope that it's been a blessing for you. Join me next week for another empowering and bold topic. Proverbs 28:1 said, the righteous are bold as a lion. We need to be bold in these last days. Boldness is not a personality trait, but acting by the power of the Holy Spirit by urgent conviction in the face of some threat. Pray for a spirit of boldness to come about you. Amen. Amen. Now, you can get my books on Amazon.com or other online venues. You can contact me by email at ltimbs@gmail.com. And you can send me your questions or prayer requests. I'd be honored to pray for you. You can go on my archives at anchor.fm/empower-radio. You can listen to a live broadcast at OTTU, and that's Universal Media. And you can go to Empowered. It's Radio Archives at RCR Network. Amen. And you can go on podcast with Spotify. And well, actually, you can just type my name in, Lori L. Timms, T-I-M-B-S, and it'll pull up podcasts or different things you can listen to. And I sure appreciate it. Now, I need your help. I want to expand the ministry and be on other stations. And, you know, it costs money to broadcast. That's the way it is. And so any help would sure be appreciated. You can send donations through my Cash App. It's $LLT West. Amen. And I sure appreciate it. And I'm also available for speaking engagements as well. So until next time, God bless you and shalom.
OTU Media has been operating since September of 2020. Since then, OTU Media has reached over 45 million people through our media outlets. OTU Media is changing for one purpose only, and that purpose is to bring to you the quality and outstanding media that represents our audience. Welcome to the new OTU Media.
To hear this and more broadcasts like this one, go to OTU Media from the web. Also, you can find OTU Media on Roku, Amazon Fire, Android, and Apple iOS. This radio network is on OTU Media 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 56 weeks a year. Thank you for your support of OTU Media and this radio network.
Thank you for listening to Empowered Radio with Lori Timms. Tune in next time for more bold topics for bold Christians. This broadcast is copyrighted by LLT Ministries and the Resilient Christian Radio Network.